Howdy, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. Now, I normally start out my talks dealing with goals, how you need to have life goals, how you need to work on those goals every day, and that if you fail, just learn from that failure and make it better. Make your situation better. Well, I'm going to discuss somebody else's goals as of today. There is a group on YouTube and Twitch. They call themselves Hermitcraft. They do Minecraft videos. They do rather fun Minecraft videos. If you ever get a chance and you want to see what is possible, go to YouTube, look up Hermitcraft. Go to Twitch, look up Hermitcraft. You've got people like Tango Tech, Impulse SB. Yes, it's it's Impulsive is what it's short for. All of this, but what these folks did for a group called Gamer Outreach. There's a group called Gamer Outreach that provides carts that have a TV and a game system. And these are for the kids that are going through long-term medical care and are stuck in hospitals. Think about that for a second. These folks get on there and are raising money for this charity. These are helping these kids feel better. If they're feeling better, that helps them heal faster. The last amount of money, they just did a two-day stream. From what I am gathering, as of 11 hours ago, Good Times with Scar posted that they have raised, just in 2 days, for this charity, they raised $769,723. The auction raised $122,119.35. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Some folks playing a game that is kid-friendly, and videos that some of the people, if you want kid-friendly, go to Mumbo Jumbo. But for the most part, these are things that you can watch with your kids. And they're willing to give back. They're willing to use their fame for a good cause. They, even when one of their members says something that one group doesn't like, which happened, they stick up for one another. They don't cancel each other out. They're just good friends working together. And they set a goal, because Good Times with Scar is in a wheelchair. I don't know why he's in a wheelchair, but it's some kind of degenerative disease. And he understands what it means to have to constantly go to the hospital, be forced to sit there and do these things. Well, they used their fame and his idea, and him and Green got together. That's another Hermitcraft member. And they did that for these children. That is a goal. That is a good goal. And that is how to properly use fame. Now, those of you who are just joining me on Rumble, because I am going to be posting my video to Rumble. If you are watching me on Rumble, welcome. I am the Redneck Thinker. I use a little bit of redneck knowledge to try to come up with ideas that can fix the world. Well, okay, not the world, us here in the United States, but it can be applied to the world. I may say things that you might disagree with. I am quite literally more small government conservative than a lot of these Republicans that get elected. I'm not going to scream unless I happen to be recording a video while I'm watching a University of Tennessee football game, or I might do it when I'm watching the Olympics. But I am not going to get on here and scream and yell. I will try my best not to put anybody down. Sometimes I fail miserably at that part. And I'm not just going to give voice to myself. I want to give voice to everybody. I want to give a voice to the nurses, the ditch diggers, the farmers, the electricians. I'm wanting to give a voice to people. I want to use my fame so that you and I can come up with solutions together. And I'm new to all this on this side of things with the Redneck Thinker. I have worked with other people before. I do journalism. I do investigative journalism. I cover topics that I don't have the resources to do as in-depth of research as I would like to do. But that, in all honesty, ladies and gentlemen, I could use your help with. Like, subscribe, and comment. Those three things will help me out the most. Also, I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/freedomvn. Freedom Victor November. The VN stands for visual novel. I have a book that I put via visual novel software. It is a compilation of what the founding fathers decided, or what their words were as to why they put certain things in the Bill of Rights. That's on itch.io. I'm going to put the link to all this stuff in the description. But I welcome you if you're watching me on Rumble. If this is on YouTube that you're listening to me, I want to say welcome back. If you're on my po if you're listening via my Podbean podcast, which is where this is getting recorded at first, I want to say welcome to y'all and howdy. Now, yesterday I talked about foreign aid. I had a gentleman that has given me two solutions so far. I want to talk a little bit more about how we need to do things dealing with foreign nations. The different nations of the world have an interesting view of the United States. For too long, the United States kissed up to certain nations and we bullied others. And we need to stop doing that. We need to start having true friends that aren't going to turn on us when things get a little uncomfortable. And we also have to realize is that people disagree with one another. They really do. And we don't need to try to bully people who disagree with us. We don't need to do so many of the things that we do. Now, I'm going to take Iran. And you're probably listening to me going, well, those people, they're against us and they're violent and all this. Yes, but we started it. Actually, Great Britain started it. The Iranian nation was originally a colony of Great Britain. Yes, they had been the Persian Empire and all that, but when the Europeans started colonizing the world, which was a I can't think of really any good things that came from it other than, hey, the United States got here. But even we had our own little problems. Great Britain did all kinds of bad things. Heck, they do all kinds of bad things in Ireland. And they didn't want to let Iran go. Well, after World War II, they didn't have the ability to force their will on these countries that had been former colonies. So some of these places that had been colonized by Great Britain became independent nations. Iran became an independent nation and got rid of their puppet of a leader called the Shah. The Shah was known for not being the brightest bulb in the pack, and that's the best way to describe it. And he did things to his people that should not have been done just to enforce the will of his British overseers. Well, he was overthrown, and they said they created their own democracy there in Iran. Well, there was a feller that became the foreign or the prime minister. His name was Mossadegh. Mossadegh and his government did not want to side with either the United States or Russia. Those were basically the two choices back then. Mossadegh was not alone in this. Iran was not alone in this. But one of the things that Mossadegh and his government did was say, hey, our natural resources should be for the benefit of the Iranian people, not for the benefit of Great Britain. Hey, we can consider that in this country. We have all kinds of natural resources that are getting mined and drilled by foreign governments. Up until recently, thanks to Hillary Rodham Clinton, under the Barack Obama administration, we had a uranium mine that was owned by the Russian government. Wow, we shouldn't have had that. And that made a lot of people upset. Go figure. So, Iran, not wanting their natural resources to be going to the benefit of another nation and not to the benefit of the people of their nation, said, hey, this is now our oil. This is not Great Britain's oil. I mean, seriously, folks, it makes common sense for that. Well, Great Britain, in a fit of whining, went to the U.S. government. Under Eisenhower, we had a Secretary of State. I'm going to look this up because I'm going to mess it up. I can guarantee that I will mess this up if I don't have it right in front of me. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't do fully scripted. I come up with ideas of what I'm going to discuss. Okay, we had Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles. John Foster Dulles was the Secretary of State, and Allen Dulles was the head of the CIA. And if you want to learn some interesting facts about all of this, there is a book called The Brothers. I don't get any money from this because I didn't write it. It was written by a gentleman by the name of Stephen Kinzer. Came out in 2013. Seriously, pick this book up. It is fascinating. But they convinced the Americans, Great Britain, convinced the Americans, namely the Dulles brothers, who went to Eisenhower, those three, and said, there's a Communist Party here, and they're having Russian influence, yada, 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 yada. But that wasn't the entire story. Mozambique, yes, there was a Communist Party there, but they didn't have the power that Great Britain was claiming that they had. But the Dulles brothers, with the approval of Eisenhower, and I like Eisenhower, so this is not me downing on Eisenhower. A lot of this came from the influence of the Dulles brothers. Yes, Dulles Airport is named after John Foster Dulles. I dislike this man. They got together and set up a coup in this country. They deposed Mozambique and reinstated the Shah. And so the Shah now had new overlords, which was the American government. He was brutal in making sure that the Iranian people did exactly what the American government wanted. And the people that we have had in as Secretary of State and the head of the CIA's, or the different heads of the CIA, have not been the brightest bulbs in the pack themselves. And so this government, while allowing some freedoms, didn't really allow that many freedoms. They had to follow the path of what the American government wanted, whether it was against the wishes of the Iranian people, whether it was against common sense. Iran did what the American people, or not the American people, the American government. Let me rephrase that. It was the government, not the people. I'm sure most of the people weren't fully aware of what was going on in Iran. Why? Because, well, as this one British YouTuber has said, America is enormous. We don't have to leave this country to get to have a good vacation. Well, because brutal regimes, totalitarian governments, and the like, in other words, big government. Big government does this to their people to be able to combat this, because every time peaceful solutions are found, they're normally brutally taken down, whether it's through propaganda means, whether it's through using the controlling party's violent arms. A more violent group will arise. Those that are tired of being put upon. There's other words I can say, but I'm trying not to use the wordage that will get me censored. These folks that arise from this are usually very violent. And so you had the Ayatollahs come to power in 79. And this is where our embassy was taken hostage. It was where the Ayatollahs got to take control of everything, and where America and Iran became enemies. And we've been enemies since 1979. Now, is there much that we can do about that right now? In all honesty, no. We shut that door ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we shut that door ourselves because of what we did with the Shah. And then there's another group of countries that we need to realize that we have caused problems with. Central America is a great place to grow bananas. If you've been down to Central America, yeah, you can understand why. If you just look in the atlas and understand soil and weather and everything, you realize that there aren't many places in the United States that you can grow bananas. And bananas in the early part of the 1900s was a very productive or very profitable crop. So a U.S. company by the name of United Fruit Company or United Fruit Corporation went down to Central America and found a way to bribe, bully, and other ways the governments down there to give them profitable ways of growing bananas and everything. Well, them bullying the government didn't make a lot of allies for that company. And when there was pushback against United Fruit, they went to the government. Their primary lawyer happened to be a gentleman by the name of John Foster Dulles. No joke. The company that he was the managing partner in, the lawyer firm, had a lot of connections within the government. So, John Foster Dulles and his ilk convinced the U.S. government that they needed to protect United Fruit. Look it up. It is called the Banana Wars. And these Central American countries, and some of them were, I don't know what that area is called. It's the Bahamas, that area. The little island nations down there, Jamaica, Cuba, Bahamas, all that area. Some of them were involved in it. We sent in U.S. troops to maintain United Fruit's profitability. Woodrow Wilson, all these presidents sent. Any time that you hear that Woodrow Wilson was a peaceful president and that he disliked going to war, no. He sent troops into so many different countries, so many different times in Central America and the islands to the south of us. No, he was not a peaceful person. And even after World War I, we still did this. Chesty Puller. A lot of U.S. Marines got their taste of battle. The ones that didn't go to World War I got their taste and experience for battle in countries like Honduras and El Salvador and places like that. Well, this continued even after World War II, under the Dulles brothers and others. And we created such an environment down there that it bred groups like MS-13, that criminal group that comes up here to the United States pushing drugs, and to become a member of this organization, you have to kill a cop. So if they've got some member that is wanting to become a full member, if they've got some little dude running around who's wanting to become a full member, he's got to kill a cop. I've only heard about guys in the organization doing this. I don't know much about the women in the organization. But you got to kill a cop to become a full-on member of MS-13. So it was all because we were protecting a company called United Fruit. I forget the Marine. There was a Marine that talked about this. I got to look this up. I'm being all kinds of not remembering today. In case you wonder, I have memory issues at times. I had some medical issues, and it caused me to have memory issues at times. I don't remember specific information. Okay, I'm looking up Marine Legend and United Fruit. Do-do. Smedley Butler. How could I forget Smedley Butler? Smedley Butler said that that's who we were fighting for. He said that's why he left the Marine Corps, because of the United Fruit Company. And by the way, the United Fruit Company is now called Chiquita Banana. Well, Chiquita, but everybody knows the Chiquita Banana thing. I'm not going to try to sing that song. I mess it up. And this is, he was a good man. He won two medals of honor, not just one. He got two medals of honor. And one of his comments, he put this in a mag, in a, even though it's a socialist magazine, but at the time that was the only way he could get his message out. I spent 33 years and 4 months in active service as a member of our country's most agile military force, the Marine Corps. And during that period, I spent most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer for capitalism. The sad part is that when you actually read the folks that created the philosophy of laissez-faire capitalism, that isn't capitalism. It really isn't. But unfortunately, that's what our government and what big business has turned it into. Capitalism. I'm going to go into that on another episode, because I'm talking about foreign relations right now. Let me get back to this. If we were to create friends, if we were to go to a country that was having problems and go, hey, we're wanting to help you turn it all around. We're wanting to create a partnership with you. We're going to help you educate your people. We're going to help you first by making sure that you can produce your own food. Not through an act of charity, but through an act of friendship. Help them learn how to grow their own food. Take a look at the environment in their nation and fix it up so that they are able to make their own or grow their own food. Well, and also make their own food, because, I mean, you make a pie, you make gumbo, you make fried chicken. So you go to these countries that you want to be your friends and go, okay, let's see what kind of problems they're having and help them with it. The only thing that we should be wanting out of that kind of relationship is friendship. Let's forget about what they can do for us. Let's forget about what we can do for them. Let's just create a foreign relationship with these different nations that is based on friendship. Because friends help friends. If we go to these countries first, help them get to the point where their people are able to eat. Next, make sure that these people are able to have the education to be able to move forward. We don't even have that part of our, we don't have either one of those two going on in this country. What we're doing with food is idiotic. We've got too much government control with our food supply in our country. We got too much farmland that is being sold to the Chinese government. We've got too much farmland that is getting turned into housing developments. And way too much farmland owned by big corporations that don't, that aren't using it for the benefit of America's eating, but to the bottom line. you're going to be sitting there going, well, he sounds like he's against business. I am not against business. I'm for common sense. And if you have folks that don't feel like they've got to spend every dime on products that are usually getting to the point where they are subpar, you have a better country. What we have here, ladies and gentlemen, in this country is that we're getting sold a bunch of products that honestly are not that good of products. We've got products that are built so that they will fail after a few years, so that it will make us want to have to buy, or not want, but need to buy a new product. It's kind of idiotic. Our food. How many times have you heard that there has to be some kind of recall on our food? That's the point, ladies and gentlemen. We need, first, to get back to that in our own country, but also to go to some of these countries that are having problems with food and go, hey, we've got the scientific knowledge. We're going to teach you that scientific knowledge on how to grow food that will sustain your people. Once people are able to have food in their belly, hey, they're happier people. They're more willing to move forward. My whole thing of starting my talks at the beginning with talking about working on your goals, that's where this comes from. So, we go from working on that to working on making sure that these people are able to sustain themselves in other ways. If you are able to start sustaining yourself, you're happier. You're not wanting to deal with totalitarian governments. You're not wanting to deal with folks that are wanting to take advantage of you. Which, yes, it'll make it more difficult for the U.S. government to deal with them when they get their when we elect people who are idiots. And yes, I'll stand by that, because we have continuously elected people who aren't the brightest bulbs in the pack. And we have continuously elected people to the presidency that have sat there and put people in charge that want to be bullies. And that should not be the case when it comes to our foreign policy. So, we go in there, we set it up so that they're able to sustain themselves without having to have all of this foreign aid. If they're eating, then that means, like I said, they are able to move on. So the next step is making sure that they're able to sustain themselves via engineering. They're able to build better roads, which means they're able to get around. They're able to have health care. Better educated people can set up better health care. It is necessary for the peace in this world if this is what happens. That means that we can stop sending our troops into harm's way, because we have allowed for these countries to become ruinous, not just for because of our policies, but our policies are not helping them. And that's what we need to get back to. Actually, we need to get to doing it because we ain't ever done it. We don't need to constantly set it up that we are trying to be in charge of everything. Yes, if we help them out in the manner that I'm talking about, they will recognize that we have some leadership in these areas. If we're helping them out, that means that we will have to deal with advancing our own nation, and that will mean that we will become leaders in this technology and science and all those other areas. We need to quit having a lack of common sense when we tell people about science. This whole thing of climate change, when common sense is dealt with, it doesn't make no sense. Because if you take a look at history, there is no way that it sounds like common sense. The climate of the world changes from time to time. There have been ice ages, there have been warming up globally. There is a historical proof of this dealing with wine culture. Now, I ain't real up to date on what makes a good wine. Because of sinus issues, I can't exactly taste stuff quite as well as other people do. But wine's big business. Wine is really big business. And the British Islands, where they've got that environment where it's rainy and miserable all the time. Well, it's not all the time, but it's not an environment I'd want to be in all the time. At one time, they had a wine industry there. Their wines were said to be pretty good. That was because the environment, the global environment, and this was back several hundred years ago, several hundred years ago, the global environment changed long enough for them to set up a wine industry. They can't have that wine industry right now because the environment doesn't handle it as well. And that's the whole point. It would seem that these folks don't listen to common sense. I guess they think that there was some kind of technologically advanced culture when all the ice ages hit that was causing the problems. So we need to stop pushing these things that don't make any sense. We need to start pushing common sense solutions. And a lot of that is, hey, we're willing to be your friends. We'll help you out. And later on, if you see something that you can help us out with, hey, we ain't going to complain. But now, if you see us struggling with something and you don't, and you're in disagreement with some things, well, we're not going to get mad at you if you don't help us out on that particular area. You might be able to help us out other places. And that is what we need to do. Seriously. So, it don't make no common sense of what we do nowadays. We allow foreign countries to buy up land here. And these countries that we're allowing to buy up the land here, aren't completely our friends. Somewhat, some of them are, but not Russia, not China. I mean, Canada is, but we shouldn't, even Canada, as much as they're friendly with us, they aren't. Our government and their government, well, the American people and their government don't agree. But hey, at least we got friendly terms with Canada. Mexico, we've got a long history of doing things to each other. And we got to move on from that, but that's going to take some years. We've got to have some folks put into place. You don't bully Mexico. They don't appreciate it. We bullied them for well over a century and a half. We need to start figuring out how we can get the Mexican government to not be adversarial with us at times. They're more adversarial with us than they're friendly with us. It isn't, but then again, though, we kind of brought that on ourselves. We invaded that country so many times, it ain't even funny. We've got to start proving to the world that we are not going to bully them. And that's what we've done to so many countries around the world. We've got to stop bullying people. And the only time that we're friendly with people is when they can, when we can get them to stop being friendly with countries like China and the Soviet Union, what is now Russia again. But it doesn't make lasting friendships. It doesn't make lasting allies. What it creates is an us versus them. This whole thing of us versus them, which is what our government basically does every day, is us versus them. Now, I don't agree with everyone. Actually, I don't agree on everything with everyone, period. But you come to a common ground. If you support the University of Tennessee, I am probably going to be able to have some good conversations with you. If you like college football, even if I don't like what team you support, I can probably have a good conversation with you. If you have served in the United States military, specifically the Marine Corps, because, well, jarheads have a habit of not being the gentlest of critters. Let's put it that way. Those of us that earned our Eagle Globe and Anchor sometimes have a habit of being a little ornery. The Marine Corps at times has been described as a cult. But that's because we're willing to go through the worst battles. And we have proven ourselves in the worst battles in the world if we're given a chance. You take a look at Guadalcanal, you take a look at Belleau Wood, and in all honesty, some of the better parts of what happened on Bataan in the Philippines, the Marines got a little involved, but they weren't allowed to be involved that much because MacArthur hated the Marine Corps. Because the Marine Corps has always touted itself through PR means. And if you're taken away from the, if you were taking away from the spotlight from MacArthur, he hated you. Truman hated the Marine Corps. But we had proven ourselves. So it didn't make any sense that Truman hated us, but he did. I guess it was that army mentality that was in him. But you know what? Yes, Marines will get along with each other even if we don't like each other. At the same time, Anybody that served in the military, I don't mind talking to. We have common ground. We signed a check. The moment we took the oath to join the military, if we honored that oath, and not everybody does, there are folks that join the military that are not honoring their oaths, that don't honor their oaths, but if you honestly honored your oath, that means you signed a check that you would defend this country up to and including your life. And if you honored that oath, I'll listen to you more than I will listen to a lot of people. I will listen to you far more than I'll listen to the vast majority of the politicians that are out there. Tulsi Gabbard and I do not agree on every political stance. There are a lot of things that me and her do agree on, but there are some things we disagree on. But Tulsi Gabbard is a serious person. She's a beautiful woman, but she isn't a Barbie doll. I talk about, if you listen to my other podcast, you will hear that I will talk about politicians who are Barbie dolls and Ken dolls. Tulsi Gabbard, while she is a beautiful woman, in my opinion, I know not all y'all will agree, is not a Barbie doll. This is a serious woman who has a brain in her head that is amazing. She thinks for herself. Yes, she joined the Democrat Party, but she woke up because she saw what the Democrat Party really was. And she served in the military. She was willing to go into places that by no means were good places to go into, especially for a woman. She signed that check that said up to and including her life, she would defend this country. This is not in support of her running for an office. This is talking about somebody that I will listen to over, say, Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz and I also agree on things, but I don't, there are several things that he has done that I don't agree with, such as kissing the rear end of a man who made comments about his wife and never apologized for it. It'd be one thing if Trump had made these comments about his wife and you're going to go, oh, he's anti-Trump, Trump derangement syndrome. No. When Trump does something that I agree with, such as what he was attempting to do before the 2020 election in the Middle East, Trump actually created an environment where he was getting Arab countries to be friendly with Israel. How he did that was pretty smooth, and I will give him all the credit in the world for what he did when it came to the Arab area. Now, a lot of that was unraveled thanks to the Biden administration. But what he did there, I consider to be a good thing, and I will give him credit for that. But Trump has a habit of running his mouth in a way that I'm not going to call offensive. He's just stating his opinion on certain things. And he states his opinion in a manner that is not politically correct. And, okay, fine. We need people like that on occasion to have a microphone. But if you love your wife, think about this from a Christian standpoint. If you love your wife, or even from a Jewish standpoint, if you love your wife, you ain't going to tolerate somebody cutting her down. If you are a woman and somebody is making disparaging comments about your husband, you ain't going to tolerate that. But that's what Ted Cruz did. He had Trump making comments about his wife. And then, as soon as Trump got into power, he said, "Yes, Mr. Trump, I'll do whatever you say, Mr. Trump." And while Ted Cruz has talked tough about several subjects that I have agreed with him on, and he has, Ted Cruz has done many things, has voted certain ways, has defended certain areas of American life that I have sat there and gone, "Hey, this is pretty cool." He didn't defend his wife. That doesn't make me like him all that much. He did defend his wife, but like I said, as soon as Trump gained the power that he gained, it was, "Yes, Mr. Trump. Yes, President Trump. Whatever I can do for you, President Trump," without Trump apologizing. I don't like that. We have too many of those politicians. We really do. We have too many of those politicians. Now, Rand Paul, I don't agree with everything he says, but Rand Paul's willing to stand up for his convictions. I have to agree with the man on that. I might not agree with some of the things that's happened in his background, but he's willing to stand up for the American people. He's willing to stand up for the people of Kentucky. And he's willing to point out some of the silliness that our government does. And we need those kinds of people. He doesn't fully take after his daddy, but his daddy taught him right. Now, I don't like Lauren Boebert. Yes, she's done a few things here and there, but she has been more of a Barbie doll than a serious politician, in my opinion. She gone a little hog wild for beans and barbecue when it comes to her divorce. After her divorce, she's become a little wilder than she probably should have. And I don't think it was, I think she's just been letting herself be a little freer. And there ain't nothing wrong with that, but the problem is that if you are an elected member of Congress, you have to have a certain way about you. AOC is another one that is not a serious person, in my opinion. Now, we need some serious people. We need serious people that are able to make serious decisions. And we no longer need the Barbie dolls and the Ken dolls in Congress that are making these decisions. I interviewed a guy by the name of Mark Rice, and I interviewed a guy by the name of Tommy Hansen. Both are running for Congress in the Chicago area. Both of these gentlemen, in my opinion, they're both business owners. They both answered my questions that were not pop culture questions. I wasn't asking issues that don't affect everybody. I was asking about DEI, which is raising the cost of so many businesses, It's raising the cost of education. It's basically not good for this country. Not because I don't think that, hey, if you're going to hire somebody, hire the best suited person. That's my opinion. And you treat these people like you would your family. If you are a business owner, you treat your employees like their family. You don't treat them like their employees because you hire the best, you pay them well, and you treat them well. That's common sense. But unfortunately, business today doesn't do that. And so they've started this DEI kick because they're trying to fix themselves, but they've gone completely in the opposite direction. But Tom Hanks, I also talked about uranium mining, rare earth mining, stuff like that, because it really does affect us, ladies and gentlemen. Both Tom Hanson and Mark Rice are running in districts that are right around Chicago. These are Democrat-held areas. Both of these gentlemen are serious people. Both of these gentlemen, with tough questions put before them. I didn't ask gotcha questions. I wasn't trying to have soundbite questions. I was trying to have serious questions answered. Both of these men were able to answer serious questions. Mark Rice, having been a business owner that dealt with energy, was able to answer energy questions quite a bit better than Tom Hanson, who is a real estate person. But it doesn't mean that Tom Hanson wasn't any bit less of a candidate. Tom Hanson answered the questions in an intelligent manner. These are serious men to consider. We need serious men and women that are going to be in Congress to start fighting what this government has become. Because if we make this government better, we will be able to create an environment in which we are able to go to these countries and go, hey, we want to be your friends. We don't want to bully you. Don't want to just give you handouts. We want to be your friend. We want to make sure that the people of your nation are able to eat, that they're able to be educated, and that they are able to live a better life like we do in the United States. But to be able to do that, we need to have serious people put in office that are going to keep our intelligence agencies and our Department of and our State Department in check. Because we don't have that right now. We have a State Department and intelligence agencies that are not in check. We keep electing people to the presidency that have no clue in how to do things in a civilized manner. No, that was not a push at Trump. While his appointing of Sessions is a major sticking point for me, his treatment of General Mattis is a sticking point for me. Trump did several good things. He did actually many good things. That was good for this country. Now, did he do things that I completely disagree with? Yes. Sessions. I don't even know where to go with Sessions. I dislike Sessions. It's not because he's from Alabama. I'm from Tennessee. I know people from Alabama who are smart, intelligent people who have the ability to make wise decisions. Unfortunately, I don't think we got that with Sessions being the Attorney General of the United States. Maybe he could have been put in other job titles. But as an attorney general, no. He did more harm than good. But Trump still did a lot of good for this country. So no, I am not attacking Trump when I say that. Joe Biden, on the other hand, I'm not sure if he actually knows what he's doing most of the time to begin with, but Joe Biden is not somebody who should have been elected president. I'm not going to go into the election process. That's somebody, other people have talked about that. As president, Joe Biden has not done a good job on any front. And that's showing. That's why China, Russia, and these other countries are standing up there and making them empires around the world through financial means and through bullying and through smart diplomacy. To combat that, we need a president that knows that he needs to appoint, he or she needs to appoint the right people to be able to deal with this situation. So, I do not mind somebody who can be a pain in the rear end as long as they do things in a manner that is benefiting the United States as a whole. Have disagreements with Trump, sure. I'm not saying that I don't. But this man did quite a bit of good in his short time in the presidency. Would I like to see somebody else running for the Republican nomination? Sure. The Republicans have many good people. But right now, he is the only viable choice that we have to go against Biden. And so, we got to do something. We've got to get Biden out of office because the people that are controlling him are doing harm to this country. We need serious people, and right now, the serious people that are in control of this country are doing harm to this country. Sorry. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to me. If you liked my podcast, hit like, subscribe, comment on Rumble and YouTube. On Podbean, I don't know how to do that. Follow. I think following is the way to do on Podbean. I'm going to post a link to my Facebook for you to comment. Go to my Patreon and help me out if you have the ability to. But just think about what I said. And if you didn't agree with me, okay, you didn't agree with me. Tell me. So, I hope you have a good day. This is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. Good day.